Again, we take up our studies in the Gospel through Luke chapter 21. And today we're starting from I'm going to read again from verse 25 right down to verse 33. I would like to read that portion again, if I may, and will you follow along with me? Verse 25 of Luke chapter 21. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree, and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, you know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, in our last lesson, we were talking about the signs preceding the coming of the Lord to the earth. And I must again repeat this. The coming of the Lord for the church is a mystery hidden in God, according to Ephesians chapter 3. And the Lord today is gathering out a people for his name, called the church, which is the body of Christ, made up of individuals out of every nation, tongue, and tribe. God is not dealing with nations today. He's dealing with his people. But once the church is taken away, then God begins to deal with the nations. Remember, he's dealing now with individuals. When he begins to deal with the nations, he deals in judgment. And we were dealing in our last lesson with verses 25 and 26 and 27. That is, before the Lord comes to the earth to set up his kingdom, he must judge the nations of the earth. And this is what you have. Before that time, you've got distress of nations with no way out. They don't know the answer. And they're going to see the powers of the heavens shaken. The sun and the moon and the stars are signs in the heavens. Something's going to happen. And they're going to be scared. They're going to be really scared. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now let me come back to this verse 27. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Who shall see him coming in a cloud with power and great glory? Well, everyone on the earth, especially to these nations of which he has just been speaking. He has just said that the nations of the earth will be full of distress. They'll not see what's going to happen. Men's hearts are failing them because of fear, because of what's coming on the earth. Then they shall see the Lord Jesus come back in power and great glory. They shall see him. Allow me to quote from Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, you remember it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." It's not a time for blessing. It's judgment. They're going to wail because of him. You remember in Revelation chapter 6, the last two or three verses from 15 to 17, the rich men and the captains and the kings and all these people of the earth, every bondman and every free man shall call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that cometh in his glory. Who are they going to see? For the great day of the Lamb is come, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? They want to be covered from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who's the Lamb? None other than the Lamb of God, which came 1900 years ago to take away your sin and my sin. By the way, the prophet Isaiah prophesied the same thing in Isaiah chapter 2, when you come to 17, to the end of the chapter. Even Isaiah prophesies this fact. The first of the chapter gives you something of the Lord's glorious reign. But he ends the chapter with cease from man in whose nostrils is the breath of life. And he goes back and shows what happens when the Lord comes. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from his face. You remember our Lord stood before the high priest, and I quote from Matthew 26, and the high priest said to the Lord Jesus Christ, art thou the Son of God? What are you claiming to be? Art thou the Christ, the Son of God? I adjure thee. Put him, Jesus, under oath. And the Lord says, thou sayest, but not only that, you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And the high priest said, what further need have we of witnesses? We've heard him ourselves. He's a blasphemer. Why call him a blasphemer? Because Jesus Christ was declaring that he was the one who was the fulfiller of Daniel chapter 7, where God's going to come in the clouds of heaven. And the same thing in Mark chapter 14. And for your encouragement, may I remind you of Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now notice verse 28. Now he talks to the remnant, the godly remnant on earth, who go through the time of the tribulation. And he says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You see, if you go back to other scriptures, you'll find where Jerusalem is going to be surrounded. In Matthew chapter 24, they're going to be hated of all men for his name's sake. And God's going to purge out of Israel, the nation Israel, all her rebels, all her unbelievers. And the godly remnant is left. And they're surrounded. Their enemies are determined to wipe them off the face of the earth. And by the way, may I inject here, we know that is true today. There are some of the enemies of Israel today would like to liquidate the whole Jewish race, especially to get them out of Palestine. And in desperation, they look up. They see all these things happening in the heavens and in the earth. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. This is where you have the fulfilling of Isaiah chapter 66, where we read, a nation will be born in a day when God's going to take them and restore them back to himself. And the whole nation, according to Zechariah, is going to be in repentance before God. They shall see him whom they pierced and shall say, where did you receive these wounds? And he shall say, I received them in the house of my friends. And you have real national repentance on the part of Israel. It's what you have here. Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. And then he gives us a parable. Allow me to read it. He spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, you know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now let me talk about this question, the restoration of Israel. When you see the fig tree and all the trees, you know when you see them shoot forth, when you see life in them, you know of your own selves that summer is nigh. And when you see these things, you know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. May I remind you that here you have the restoration of Israel and of all the trees. Way back in the book of Luke, we were taking this up, you remember, when we spoke of the fact that Israel was a vineyard and that he planted a fig tree in the vineyard. And the fig tree, you remember, is the remnant of Israel. The vineyard is the nation Israel. And here you have, who are the other trees, by the way? The fig tree and all the trees. I think he has reference there, possibly, to those nations that in the past generations who were very closely aligned with Israel. I speak, for example, of the Moabites and the Ammonites. For example, Jordan today occupies the place that the Moabites had. I'm not going to go to this except to just mention this fact. And you'll notice that all of it is based upon the eternal Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Let me just stop here for a moment and suggest that our Savior is again bringing before us the sureness of the Word of God. All is based on the eternal Word of God. You remember in the 119th Psalm, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, "There's not one jot or one tittle of the law will pass away till all be fulfilled." Even this nation Israel, listen, "This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." Now, it may be well for me to stop here for a moment. What does he mean by this generation? Was he speaking of the generation then on earth while the Lord was speaking? Or was he looking forward to the time when he was going to return to the earth? Now, the word used, generation, here's the word genias, which sometimes is translated nation. It's sometimes translated generation. But one can take it two ways. The Jewish nation will always be here. And you've got good ground for this. For over 1,900 years, the Jews have been scattered over the face of the earth. They've been a nation without a country. My friend, you can't get rid of the Jew. There has always been an anti-Semitic spirit with respect to Israel. And this may increase before the end. As I think of what's happening in Israel today, I can see where anti-Semitism can again come forth boldly in defiance of the Word of God. Or it could mean this generation, that is, the generation who was on the earth, when these things take place, when the signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, when the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, when the nations will be full of distress and perplexity, that generation that sees those things, they will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. In other words, once the Lord begins to start, after the church is gone, the period of time between the translation of the church and the Lord to set up his kingdom is a very, very brief space of time. If you want to follow that through, you'll find it in the book of Revelation, where he talks about the various months. Half of the week was 42 months. That means approximately 7 years. Now, may I remind you of one other thing, and that is Israel, the nation Israel, is as eternal as the Word of God. Now, I'm saying this in view of what I've already said, but may I read to you, and instead of me quoting them to you, I'd like to read to you from the prophet Isaiah, and the last chapter, chapter 66, where we read, "As for the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Now, he's not talking about the church there. He's talking about Israel. In the beginning of the chapter, he talks about the fact in verse 8 that a nation shall be born in a day. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And he goes on to the redemption of the people of Israel. He talks about his anger upon them. Now he's going to draw them back. "And I will take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord." Isn't that the church? It's Israel. "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now Jeremiah speaks of the same thing in Jeremiah, for example, chapter 31. You have where, excuse me, in chapter 31, I'm reading from verse 36. He's been talking about the sun. In verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances of the sun, the moon, the stars, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, there is eternal as the heavens. I just say this because today there are those who talk about God being through with Israel. Israel, in spite of all the nations of the earth, my friend, Israel is going to continue. It's as eternal as the new heavens and the new earth which God is going to make. And if you want to follow through, by the way, God's dealings with the nation Israel and of their restoration, there's a little wee book in the Old Testament called the Book of Jonah, which prophetically gives to us a real picture of the nation Israel. In chapter 1, they were chosen to be his messengers, and they fail in their job. In chapter 2, they are under judgment among the nations of the earth, are swallowed up among the nations of the earth. In chapter 3, they're restored to again become his messengers. You remember Jonah was chosen to preach to the people at Nineveh, and he ran away on his assignment. And so in chapter 2, he's under the judgment of God. In chapter 3, he's restored and brings the message to the people of Nineveh. Israel was chosen by God to be his messengers to the nations of the earth. They failed in their assignment, and for 1900 years they've been under the chastening hand of God. But they're going to be restored as a nation, and they will again become God's messengers to the nations of the earth and the kingdom. This is what Isaiah prophesied when he said, men shall call you the ministers of God, and you shall eat the milk of the Gentiles. You see, friend, God has a way of doing things. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. And as our Lord, he has said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, starting at verse 34 and running to verse 36, you have a warning and exhortation. And it's good for us to have this warning as well as the remnant of Israel. And I would suggest you compare with that also Mark chapter 13. The danger of carnality and worldliness occupying God's people whose minds have become indifferent, and hearts are indifferent to the coming of the Lord. We need to be freed from carnality and worldliness in view of his coming. That's why, take heed. You remember in Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14, the Apostle Paul says, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. It's high time to throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And as you could say, you remember in Mark 13, what I see unto one, I see unto all, watch. The danger. Watch therefore, take heed, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. And I'm sure the coming of the Lord for his own is going to come on upon many of his people unawares. So verse 36, you've got his exhortation to watch and to pray. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. In view of the coming of the Lord's return to the earth, and again I remind you, the coming of the Son of Man is always to the earth. You find this in the Gospels. So I suggest Matthew 24:42. in Matthew 25:13, and Mark 13. And shall I add Hebrews 10:37 and Revelation 22:7? One can go on and deal with this. The world is hardening itself against the coming of the Savior. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He's going to come and catch them unawares. Remember that. He's going to catch them unawares. But for the believer, he's to watch, he's to be prepared, and may the Lord not find us sleeping. But may we love His appearing, as you have it in 2 Timothy 4:8. God is going to reward with a crown of righteousness all those who love His appearing. And as Thessalonians 1:10, let us be like the early church. They waited for His Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom He raised from the dead. May God grant you and I will not be found sleeping when our Lord comes.